B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Hey. We're going to start 7 lines from the bottom of Kuf Mem Dalet Omud Base. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. It was said in the name of Shmuel, Soichet Odom Eshkel Shel Anovim L'toich HaKadera Avoloi L'toich HaKa'ora. We know that to squeeze fruits, to squeeze grapes, olives, and even other fruits, is also on Shabbos. Here Shmuel is saying that why is one not allowed to squeeze on Shabbos? Because it's similar to mefarik, to dosh, to separating, to extracting. And those are, and threshing is dosh, and those are melachos that are rosa. But that's only when you're separating a liquid from a solid. However, what happens if you separate a solid from a solid? That's not called schita. So normally we understand that squeezing by default separates a liquid from a solid. And here in the Gemara we're going to see that's not completely accurate. Sometimes you can have something that looks like a liquid and feels like a liquid, but because it's not being drunk, it's not being absorbed, it's not being taken in the way that liquids are, it's going to be used with food, not as a liquid. It has the status of a solid, of food, not a drink, and therefore it will not, and the malach of soichet or the issa of soichet will not apply to it. So over here, if somebody is allowed to even on Shabbos squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot, because in a pot you never drink from a pot, in a pot you have food, so you've added it to enhance the food in the pot, it's clear to everyone that you're not going to drink from the pot, and therefore it has the status of oichel and is mutter. Even though it's not common to drink from a bowl, but it's that little bit less clear that it's not going to be used as a liquid, and therefore one should not squeeze grapes into a bowl on Shabbos. Omar of Chizda, Medivir Rabbeinu Nilmat, from these words of Shmuel we can understand that Choylev Odom Eiz L'toicha Kedera Avaloi L'toicha Ka'ora, that we know that normally one's not allowed to milk a goat on Shabbos under regular circumstances because it's dosh, you're again separating the milk from where it was before. However, if you're going to put it straight into a pot, then it's considered oichel, and to separate oichel is not osa. But one should not milk a goat and let the milk fall straight into a ka'ora, into a bowl, as we saw. Alma, kasovar, we see that he holds mashke habo la'oichel. Liquids, fluids that are going to be used and are going to go into food items have the status of food. Mosiv Rami Barachoma, this seems to contradict a halacha. Zov shecholav es ha'ez, hacholav tomei. If a zov is tomei, and a zov makes food items tomei and other items tomei just by moving them. So the halacha is that if a zov milks an animal, milks a goat, then the very fact that he's moved the milk is called heset, he's moved it, and the milk is going to be tomei. Asks the Gemara, vi omres mashke habola oichlin, oichel hu, according to what we just deduced from what Shmuel said, Rav Chizda brought out from what Shmuel said, that if you're milking onto a solid, it has the status of a solid, and over here where it says zov shecholav esoez, when we're talking about the zov that's milking the goat, it doesn't say that it's only true if he's milking the goat into a bowl or into a bottle. It's even if he's milking it straight into a pot. And it's tomei, b'mai is kasher. If you're milking it into a pot, then the milk has a status of oichel, not mashke. And we know there's a prerequisite before a food item can become tomei. It has to have been mukshur lekabel tuma. One of the 7 liquids have to have touched it, and only then it's susceptible to become tomei, and then the zov can make it tomei. This milk that's being milked onto food has the status of food, can only become tomei if another, one of the 7 liquids, touched it. And over here, he milked the milk straight out of the goat. Nothing touched it. B'mai is kasher. Where and when did liquid touch this milk, which has the status of a solid, in order to make it susceptible to becoming tomei? Answers the Gemara, k'da'omer Rav Yechanon, b'tipu ha'maluch lekes al pi hadad. Rav Yechanon's got halacha, this is a Gemara in other places in Shas, where Rabbi Yochanan says this. We're not going now into where he says it, but he's got a principle that in order to help the milking process, then they would extract a little, one single drop of milk before, and that would not, they would want that to stay on the nipple, not to go into wherever the milk is going into. And that has the status of a liquid, and he wants that just because it's easier to milk after that. And since the first drop, which has now been smeared, meluchleches al piadad, has been smeared onto the nipple, any milk and all milk that comes out after that is going to pass through and touch that drop of liquid, that drop of milk that has a liquid status, and that is going to make all the other, and that's going to make the solid become tummy. We're talking about here also, the same as Rabbi Yochanan said it there, so to hear that there's a drop of blood, a drop of milk gets squeezed out of the goat and is left on the nipple as a liquid state, and then after that all the rest of the milk, even though that milk has a solid state, it has the status of a solid, nonetheless it passes and touches through that liquid and it will become susceptible to becoming tummy, and will become tummy from the fact that the Zov is moving it. Mosiv Ravina. Ravina is asking a question now. Tummy mace, if somebody was a tummy mace, if he touched a dead person or was in the same room as a dead person, shesochat zeisim v'anovim, and he squeezed either olives or grapes, he squeezed them, and the Bryce here is not differentiating between where he squeezed them into. We assume it means even if he squeezed them into a pot. Then the halacha is as follows. Kabeitza mechuvenes. If the olive or the grapes were exactly the size of a beitza, and then when, as he squeezed out, as this tomei mace, he touched the grape. If he touched the grape, the grape is definitely tomei. What about the liquid that's inside the grape, that's going to come out of the grape? So if, as soon as he squeezes the grape, now the liquid is coming out of the grape, and now it's already a liquid, a drop of oil or drop of wine or grape juice that has come out. But now, as soon as it leaves the grape itself or the olive itself is less than the size of a beitza. And we know the halacha is a solid food item can only make something else tummy if the solid itself is the size of a kebeitza. Here, when is the liquid going to become tummy? As soon as it leaves the solid. But at that point, the solid itself is no longer a kebeitza because a drop has left it and it was exactly a kebeitza beforehand. So if it was a kebeitza mechuvenes, exactly a kebeitza, tohir, then whatever's been squeezed out of this beitza, or of this zesim, or of these anovim, is going to be tohir. Asks the Gemara, says the Gemara, ha yesim rekebeitza, if they were larger than the size of a kebeitza, tomi, then it'll be tomi. Because if these zesim or anovim were more than the size of a kebeitza, and he squeezed out a drop, then at this point, you've got a drop which is just touching and leaving the zeisim v'anovim. The zeisim v'anovim themselves are still the size of a kebeitza, and they can make this drop. Tomei asks the Gemara, v'i omris mashke habola oichel. Oichel hu, if you say that if we're going to squeeze this into a pot, then these drops, this whatever's coming out of these, the oil or the grapes, is got the status of a solid, b'mayis kashir, then this solid can only become tomei when one of the mashkin touched it and made it susceptible to become tomei. Here, then nothing ever touched it, nothing ever made it become susceptible to become tomei. So the fact that it's touching the zeisim or the anovim, that's not enough. We need one of the zayin mashkim. We need one of the seven liquids to have touched it in order to make it susceptible to become tomei. Says the Gemara, who moisiv lo v'hu mefarik lo. The same Ravina that asked the question, he answered the question. B'seichet l'toich ha-ka'ora. This halacha is talking about when you're squeezing into a bowl. Squeezing into a bowl, then these drops, whatever's being squeezed out, has a liquid status. Liquid status can become tomei without another liquid having touched it. That's only halacha that applies to solids, not to liquids. And therefore, since it has the status of a liquid, then the zeisim, the anovim, the atome, they are going to be metame the oil or the grape juice that's coming out of it, and they will be tome. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, ketanoi. Rabbi Yirmiyah says this concept that we saw before, that mashke haba la'oichel, oichel, it seems to be a machlokes tanoim. We saw in the Braisa, hamachlik ba'anovim, if somebody squeezes grapes straight onto some bread in order to smoothen the tops of the bread, loy huchshar, we do not consider the breads as having come into contact with one of the seven mashkim, beverages, and then the breads are susceptible to become tomei. No, since he squeezed these grapes straight onto a bread, it has the status of a food, not of a liquid, and therefore it will not make the bread susceptible to be mekabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, huchshar. Rabbi Yehuda says that since you squeezed the grapes onto the bread, now we have the juice of the grapes on the bread, so it was mukshar lekabel tuma. It's now susceptible to be mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara, my love, b'hokam iflegi. It seems to be that this is the machlekas. Marasovra, the Tanakama hold, mashke habola oichel, oichelhu, that squeezing out a drink, a liquid, onto a solid has the status of food, not of liquid. Umarasova, Rabbi Yehuda holds, lav oichelhu. It has the status of a liquid, and therefore it will make the bread susceptible to be mekabel tuma. Omer of Papa, Rav Papa argues with Rabbi Yirmiyah and says, no, it's not necessarily that these two Tanoim are arguing in this discussion. To Kule Alma, it could be both of them hold Mashke Haba La'Oichel Lav Oichelhu. It could be they both hold that even when you squeeze a drink, you squeeze a liquid onto a solid, it has the status of a liquid, not of a solid. Others here have the version that everybody agrees that it does have the status of a solid, but Rashi, we're learning that Rashi says, like we have here, that everybody agrees that it's not got the status of an oichel. So what's then the machlekes Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? V'hocha b'mashke habo le'ibud k'miflegi. Over here, what's unique here is not that you've squeezed it onto a solid, which is true, but you haven't squeezed it into the solid to become part of the solid, to add some taste, to change the texture. All you've done is you've put it onto the surface in order to prevent the bread from burning, and this liquid, the juice of the grapes, this what we can call it wine, is going to evaporate, it's going to get destroyed in the fire. And that's the machlekes. By mashke habol ibud kamiflegi, Marasova Rabbi Yehuda holds mashke hu. Nonetheless, it's considered a mashke. It's considered a liquid, and therefore the bread became susceptible to be mekabel tuma. Or Marasova Tanakam hold lav mashke hu. Since it's being squeezed onto the bread with the sole purpose of this liquid then getting destroyed and evaporated and burnt in the fire, therefore it does not have the status of a liquid, and therefore it does not make the breads susceptible to be mekabel tuma. Ubeplukta dehane tanoi. And it seems if Papa says that the machlekes of mashke habole ibud, whether it's got the din of a mashke or not, is similar to the machlekes in another braisa. Detanya, hamefatzea bezeisim, if somebody bruises, he sort of crushes them, he presses, he bruises the olives, biodaim mesuavois, with hands that are tome, hands that are dirty, huchsher, then since he's trying to bruise them, he wants the oil to come out of these olives, because that way these olives have a better taste. Since he wants the oil to come out of it, it has a liquid status, and therefore these olives are now mukshur lekabel tuma and will become tomei. Lesoif son b'melach, if however he's pressing these olives not in order to bruise them so some of the oil should come out, rather just in order to be able to then dip them into some salt, and you need to press them a little bit in order for the salt to then be able to get to stick onto the olive, then loy hukshar, since he doesn't need and doesn't want the olive oil to come out, therefore we ignore the oil that's come out, and the olives themselves are not susceptible yet to becoming tomei. If he's pressing them and he wants to see whether the drops of oil coming out, whether it's ripe enough and whether the olives have come to the time of picking or not. And what's going to happen to this drop of oil that's going to come out? It's going to fall on the floor. It's going to get lost. And he's only doing it to see im higiu zeisav lemosik im lav, whether they've reached the time to be ready to be picked or not. Lo yuchshar. The Tanakhama say that the olives are not susceptible to becoming tommy. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, huchshar. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says that since the oil came out of it, and you wanted this oil out of the olives, you wanted to check the oil, therefore the olives are now susceptible to becoming tommy. That's the end of the braisa. The Gemara is explaining, my love, b'hokem ifligi, we assume that this is the machlekes. Demar sovar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, mashke ha'oimid li'ibud mashkehu. Even though this drop of oil that came out is going to get ruined, is going to get destroyed, nonetheless, it's considered mashke, and the olives are now susceptible to be mekabel tuma. Umar sova the Tanakama hold lav mashkehu. It's not considered a liquid. It doesn't have the status of a beverage, of a liquid, of a one of the mashkin, and therefore the olives are not susceptible to be mekabel tuma. So that's what the Gemara said, that the explanation in this second brisa is the same as what Rav Papa explained the first brisa, whether mashke habol le'ibud, whether it's got the din of mashke or not. Omar Rav Huna Breida Rav Yeshua. Rav Huna Breida Rav Yeshua says that the two brises are not arguing on the same issue. Hanetanoi, this second brisa, b'mashke ha'oimid le'ibud pligi. As you said, that they're arguing by mashke habol ibud, because you're squeezing out the oil just in order to see how ripe the olives are, and then the oil is dropping on the floor, it's getting ruined. That's the machlekes here. The hanoch, but the first machlekes, when you're smearing the juice of the grapes onto the bread, there's a machlekes there, that's a different issue. The hanoch tanoi b'mashke ha'oimid letzach tzachoy kemiflegi. Over there, it's not getting ruined. There, it's actually serving to shine and smoothen the top of the bread. And there's a machlekes, if mashke ha'oimid letzach tzachoy, is it considered mashke, or is it not considered mashke? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's considered a mashke, and therefore the breads are susceptible to be mekabel tuma. And according to the Tanakhama, it's not considered a mashke. Continues the Gemara. Omar Abzeira, Omar of Chia Bar Ashi, Omar Rav. It was said in the name of Rav, Soichet Odom Eshkel Shel Anovim Letoicha Kadeira. One is allowed to squeeze a cluster of grapes into a pot, Avaloi Letoicha Ka'ora, but not into a bowl. Again, we're talking here on Shabbos. V'dog letziroi. One is allowed to squeeze a fish in order to squeeze the brine out of it. V'afilu letoicha ka'ora, even into a bowl, because it's something which is not typically done, it's unusual, and it does not have the status of mashke. Rashi says it's not considered a mashke, it's considered, it has the same status as a oichel, as food, as solids, and it seems to be something very unusual to do. Yosef Rav Dimi Ukoma lo loho shmaita. Rav Dimi was sitting and he said this halacha we just saw in the name of Rav, he said it over. Omer le Abaye le Rav Dimi. Abaye said to Rav Dimi, Atun mishmei de Rav masnitun. You heard this halacha in the name of Rav, v'lo ikashi lechu. And everything was fine. There was nothing difficult with it. Anan mishmei de Shmuel masninon lo. But we learned this halacha, that one's allowed to squeeze out a fish. It's just the brine out of fish on Shabbos. V'kashilon, and it seems to contradict another halacha we heard in the name of Shmuel. Mi oma Shmuel dog letziroi. Afilu letoicha ka'ora? Can it be that Shmuel said you're allowed to squeeze a fish, to squeeze the brine out of it, even into a bowl, and squeezing this has not got the status of a liquid? V'o'itmar, we learned another halacha. And now we're going to learn about two different types of processes. There's something called kovush, which is pickled vegetables. There's something called shlokis, which is boiled vegetables. And there's two reasons that a person would want to squeeze either pickled vegetables or boiled vegetables. Either legufon, just because you want to eat these vegetables without the juice in or on it, or lemei mehem, that you actually want the juices from it. You're squeezing out because you want the juices. And we're going to have to see what the halacha is according to three different opinions, Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan, regarding squeezing pickled vegetables or boiled vegetables for either of the two purposes, either legufon, when all you want is the vegetables themselves without the juices, and therefore when you're squeezing out, you have no interest in the juices, or whether you're squeezing it because you want the juices out, you want to use the juices. So let's see this inside. Voitmar, kvoshim shesochaton, if you squeezed out the pickled vegetables. Omar Rav, Rav said, legufon mutar. If you just want to eat these vegetables and you just don't want the juices on or in them, then it's mutar to do it on Shabbos. And no one's going to argue with this. Lemei mehem, if what you're squeezing out these pickled vegetables because you want to have the juices, then potter aval osa. It's not a typical kvisha. It's not a typical schita. It's not typical soaking. And Rashi explains it's because the juices in here are not those juices that were naturally created with these vegetables. These are juices that were added and were absorbed into the vegetables because of the process of either the pickling or the boiling. But nonetheless, it's asur because if you're going to squeeze these vegetables, you may end up squeezing zeisim and anovim, which is seriously asur on Shabbos. Ushlokis. And now we're not talking about the pickled vegetables, rather the boiled vegetables. Bein legufon, bein lemeimehen mutar. Rav holds that legufon, the same as the kvoshim, you're allowed to squeeze them out if you don't want the juices. Even if you want the juices, then by the shlokis, the boiled vegetables, then one is allowed to even squeeze out these vegetables for the juices. And the reason is because it has the status of oichel. And Rashi doesn't explain much. Rashi just says, Lav mashkeninu el ha'oichel. Others suggest that because it's been so well boiled, when you squeeze it out, you're not only going to be squeezing out the juice from the vegetables, you're going to be squeezing out the actual vegetable itself with the juices. Either way, it's not considered that you're squeezing a juice out of a solid, and therefore Rav says it's mutter. That was Rav. Shmuel Omer. Shmuel says, Echot kvoshim ve'echot shlokis, irrespective of whether they've been pickled or boiled, legufon mutter. And in this aspect, it's the same as Rav, that if you're squeezing them out because you want to have the vegetables without the juices, it's mutter. Lemeimehen potter aval osur. Not like Rav that said that if you squeeze out the shlokis lemeimehem, that it's mutter. Shmuel says it's osur. It's not chiv deraisa, it's not chiv chatos, but nonetheless it's osur, not like Rav. That means Rav and Shmuel both agree that by the kvoshim, by the pickled vegetables, that if you're squeezing it lemeimehem, it's osur. However, by shlokis, Rav said it's mutter and Shmuel said it's osur. Potter abel osur. Omerli, Ha'elikim, in the name of Hashem, Einai, that means here we had really a question. This is, let's put a pause here. What did Shmuel say? Shmuel said that it's squeezing out the water of the shlokis, when you want the water, lemei mehem, Shmuel said it was asa. And this is very similar to squeezing out the brine of the fish, that it should not have the status. That means they should have the same halachas. Squeezing the brine out of fish and squeezing out the mehem from the shlokis should have the same halacha. So how could you say that Shmuel said, dog letziro, you're allowed to squeeze the brine out of a fish, even letoicha ka'ora, even into a bowl, and it's not considered squeezing, it's mutter on Shabbos, then squeezing out the shlokis, le mehem, should be mutter, like Rav says. Shmuel argued with Rav and said it was asa. And that's what the Gemara said was the contradiction. So Omar Lei, so he answered him back, Ha'elikim, einai ro, v'loi zor, my eyes saw, and not a stranger, which means that I have almost a first-hand tradition that this halacha was said in the name of Rav. That means the halacha that one's allowed to squeeze out a fish, to squeeze the brine out of a fish, was said in the name of Rav, not like you heard it in the name of Shmuel. And therefore, nothing is difficult to understand. And you heard it in the name of Shmuel, it must be a mistake, because Shmuel cannot hold that way. I heard it from Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah mir Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah said it over in the name of Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira mir Rav Chiya bar Ashi. Rav Chiya bar Ashi mir Rav. We have a direct tradition that Rav said it, and Rav is conforming with his own opinion, and therefore nothing is difficult. Continues the Gemara. Gufa. Kvoshim shesochaton. And now we're just going over what we've already seen, and we're going to add a third opinion. Kvoshim shesochaton, if you're squeezing out pickled vegetables, Omar Rav legufon mutar lemimeim potar arval osur, if you're squeezing out just because you don't want the liquids here, you want to eat the vegetables without the liquids, it's mutar. If you actually want the liquids, it's osur. Ushlokos bein legufon bein lemimeim mutar, but boiled vegetables, according to Rav, not only are you allowed to squeeze them if you want the vegetables without the juices, even if you want the juices that are squeezed out, it's also mutter. That was Rav. Shmuel Omar, Echod Zev, Echod Zev, both Kvoshim and Shlokois, Lugufon, Mutter, Lemeimeim, Potter, Aval Osor. As we saw before. And now we have a third opinion. Rabbi Yechanan says, Echod Kvoshim, Echod Shlokois, Lugufon, Mutter. Nobody argues with this. Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan all agree that legufon, one's allowed to squeeze also the kvoshim, also the shlokis. The arguments start with the meimehem, when you're squeezing it because you want the juices, you actually want to use the juice as a juice. So Rabbi Yochanan says, le meimehem, both of the kvoshim and the shlokis, chayev chatos. If you squeeze them out, you're doing a melocha of schita, dosh, mefarik, and it's a chiyuv chatos. Meisvei, we can now have a braisa, and it has to work out according to these amiroim. Rav Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan should not really be arguing with the braisa. Soichatin kvoshim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to squeeze out kvoshim on Shabbos l'tzeirich haShabbos as long as you're using it for this Shabbos. Avolei l'motzeh Shabbos, but you're not allowed to squeeze out on Shabbos in preparation for motzeh Shabbos. V'zeisim v'anovim lo yischoit. Nobody argues with this, that if you squeeze out zeisim v'anovim, you're not allowed to squeeze them out of him. Sochat chayev chatos. So when it says at the beginning of this braisa, soichatim kvoshim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to squeeze kvoshim on Shabbos. And the braisa doesn't say only if it's legufon, not if it's lemeimehem. So it means the braisa says even lemeimehem, it's mutter to squeeze them on Shabbos. And so the Gemara is saying, Kashya l'Rav, Kashya l'Shmuel, and Kashya l'Rabbi Yochanan. Because Kvoshim, nobody says it's mutter to squeeze it out, l'meimehem. Rav and Shmuel say it's just osa, Rabbi Yochanan says it's chiyuv chatos. Only regarding Shlokois, Rav said it was mutter, Shmuel said it was osa, and Rabbi Yochanan said it's chiyuv chatos. But the Kvoshim, which the Brice is talking about, soichatin Kvoshim. And the Brice seems to say even l'meimehem. And the Braisa says it's mutter, and that doesn't apply not with Rav, not with Shmuel, not with Rabbi Yochanan. Kashya l'Rav, kashya l'Shmuel, kashya Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, no. Rav mataritz l'tamei, Shmuel mataritz l'tamei, Rabbi Yochanan mataritz l'tamei. All three Amiroim will have a reading in this Braisa that will conform with their own opinion. Rav mataritz l'tamei, how's Rav going to explain this? He's going to read into the Braisa as follows. Seichatin kvoshim b'Shabbos l'tzeirich haShabbos avaloi l'moitzeh Shabbos, which this is the words of the Braisa. You're allowed to squeeze the kvoshim on Shabbos. B'meh dvor mamurim, you have to read into the Braisa. When is that true? Only legufon, only if you're squeezing it because you want to eat the vegetables and you don't want the juices in it. That means when you're squeezing it out, you don't actually want the juice. Avol lemeimehem, potur avol osur. And this conforms with what Rav says, that if you're squeezing out lemeimehem, it's osa. Ushlokos, and then you have to understand, the Braisa is only talking about kvoshim, that we should understand that it's only true about kvoshim. By shlokos, it's different. What's different by shlokos? Bein legufon, bein lemeimehem, mutar. That's Rav's opinion, that with shlokos, you're allowed to lekatchila squeeze them even lemeimehem. This is the end of the braisa. Lo yischoit v'msochaton chayev chatos. Everybody agrees with that. That's how Rav understood the Braisa. Ushmuel Mataris Litame, what's Shmuel going to read into the Braisa? Seichatin Kvoshim Beshabbos Letzerich HaShabbos V'hu Hadin L'Shlokis. First and foremost, Shmuel's going to add in that Shlokis has the same din as Kvoshim. Rav couldn't do this, because according to Rav, they don't have the same halacha by Lemei Mehem. According to Shmuel, Kvoshim and Shlokis have exactly the same halachas. And both of them are mutter to squeeze them, b'medvar mamurim legufon, providing it legufon, avol lemei mehen, potter avol osur. But lemei mehem, according to Shmuel, both kvoshim and shlokis is osur. V'zeisim v'anovim lo yischoit v'imsochat chayev chatos. Rabbi Yochanan mataris letameh, how's Rabbi Yochanan going to read the braisa? Seichatin kvoshim letzorech haShabbos, avol lo lemotze Shabbos, echot kvoshim v'echot shlokis. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's also no difference between Kvoshim and Shlokis at all. B'meh dvarim amurim legufon. When is it mutar legufon? Avol lemei mehem lo yischoit. V'im sochat nase k'mi shesochat zeisim v'anovim v'chayev chatos. Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that if you squeeze either Kvoshim or Shlokis lemei mehem, it's chayev chatos. In that case, it has the same halachas as the Zeisim Vanovim that are mentioned at the end of the Braisa. So he puts them into one sentence, that if you squeeze the Kvoshim or the Shlokis, the Memeim, it has the same halacha as Zeisim Vanovim that is Chayev Chatos. Continues the Gemara. Omer Bchia Bar Ashi Omer Rav. Dvar Torah min haTorah einei Chayev Elo al Drisas or Drichas Zeisim. You're only Chayev min haTorah for squeezing. If you press... Zeisim va'anovim. Bilvad, only olives and grapes, which are used to squeeze out wine and oil. V'chein tonid be'menashe, dvar teira inu chayev elo al drisas, zeisim va'anovim bilvad. Another halacha they learnt, and that is v'ein aid mipi aid kosher. Normally in Beis Din, when witnesses come, they have to testify that they themselves were witness to whatever they're witnessing to. However, there's one case where aid mipi aid, where a witness can come and say, I didn't see, I didn't witness it myself, I heard from another witness. Aid, and that's only kosher, elo le'edus isho bilvad. In the case of an aguno, where a person's husband, a woman's husband has vanished, and this poor woman is not allowed to get married unless we have evidence, and in many cases we will not have two witnesses that can give evidence to the fate of the husband. So there the Chachomim allowed themselves, since the Kiddushin, when they first got married, was conditioned on the permission of Beis Din, Adata Derachmona, Adata Derabonon, called the Mekadesh Adata Derabonon, and therefore the Rabbonon allowed themselves to undo a Kiddushin after they've relied on Eid Mipi Eid, and they did this in order to allow Agunois to be able to get married. Only Le'edus Isha Bilvad. Iboye Lohu. So even though we just saw now that aid mipi aid, a witness that's testifying, he heard from another witness, is only mutter in the case of aguna, interestingly, we ask a question. Aid mipi aid le'edus b'chayr mahu. A firstborn animal has to be given to a kohen, it's a korban. If, however, a blemish happens to the korban, to this b'chayr, then at that point on, it's no longer going to be a korban, rather it's allowed to be eaten by the kohen. And there was a problem that we suspected, we accused many Kohanim of actually, on purpose, intentionally making a blemish. So the Kohanim had to bring proof that the blemish happened on its own and was not done intentionally. The question is, what happens if the Kohen brings a witness who says, I didn't see that the blemish happened on its own, but I heard from another witness, aid mipi aid. So we're asking now, aid mipi aid le'edus b'chayr mahu. What's the halacha? Rav Ami Osir. Rav Ami said, no, it's not good enough. Eid mipi eid is never kosher eidus. Rav Asi Shari, Rav Asi says it's good eidus. Omale Rav Ami le Rav Asi. Rav Ami asked Rav Asi, how can you, Rav Asi, say that in the case of Bechoyer, Eid mipi eid is kosher? V'hatonet be Menashe. We just said now, we saw in the Gemara, in the name of the Beis HaMedrash of Rav Menashe, of Bei Menashe, Ein aid mipi aid kosher elo le'edus isha bilvad. You're only ever allowed to rely on an aid mipi aid to be matir naguno le'edus isha, testifying for a woman. How can you say that by bechoyer it works? Says the Gemara, Eima le'edus sha'isha k'sheira lo bilvad. Don't read into what Beis Menashe says, elo le'edus isha, only regarding allowing an aguna to be able to get married. No, it means anywhere where a woman herself would be allowed to testify, eid mipi eid can also testify. And there's a halacha that a woman is allowed to testify regarding b'chayr. If a woman says, I saw the blemish happen to this animal, and it was not done intentionally by the Kohen, she's believed. We accept that. And therefore, what Beis Menashe said was, any time that a woman is believed, we can also use Eid Mipi Eid, and Bechir is one of them. That's how Rav Asi is going to explain this. Rav Yemer Achshar Eid Mipi Eid LeBechir. Rav Yemer indeed allowed them to rely on Eid Mipi Eid regarding Bechir. Koriole Maremer, Maremer was not very happy, and he called Rav Yemer Yemer Shori Bukhra. This is Yemer who he allowed the Bukhir. He trusted this Eid Mipi Eid to be relied upon so that the Kohen could eat the Bukhir and use it for his own. And this was a derogatory type of term that he gave to Rav Yemer, because Maremer held, obviously like Rav Ami, that we cannot rely on Eid Mipi Eid. The Hilchas, nonetheless, the Halacha is Eid Mipi Eid kosher lebechir. We do rely on an Eid Mipi Eid by Bechir. Continues the Gemara. Chalois Dvash. We're going now back to, we saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said on Kufnam Gimel Amud Beis, that if you have honeycombs that are crushed or chopped up, shariskon me'erev Shabbos, from before Shabbos, v'yotzu me'atzmon, in the honey now flowed from these honey cones on their own over Shabbos, Asura in the Tanakhama say it's Osir, even though there's no risk of squeezing them, of crushing them anymore, because once they've been crushed, one does not crush them anymore. But he's afraid that if you allow them to crush this, the next time you're going to crush them on Shabbos initially. Rav Leza says, since there's no risk of doing anything wrong with these honeycombs, you're allowed to use the honey on Shabbos. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Ki also Rav Hoshea min Narada, also, when Rav Hoshea came from Narada, he came, V'aisi masnita b'yodeh, and he brought the following brisa with him. Zeisim v'anovim sheriskon. Here we're not talking about the honeycombs, we're talking about olives and grapes, where they were chopped and crushed. Till now, we've only discussed whole zeisim v'anovim, that the juices, the wine, the oil seeped out of them on Shabbos, and we had a whole discussion on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, whether on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, as to whether one is or is not allowed to use the juices on Shabbos. However, here we're talking about zeisim v'anovim that have been crushed and chopped up, Me'er of Shabbos, from before Shabbos, v'yotzu me'atzmon, and now the juices came out of them on Shabbos. Asurin, the Tanakhama in that braisa say that one's not allowed to benefit from these juices on Shabbos. Rebbe Loza v'Reb Shimon matirim. Rebbe Loza and Reb Shimon both say that it's mutter to use the juices of these chopped up zeisim v'anovim even on Shabbos. Omer Rav Yosef asked, you, Rav Hoshea, came from Narada. You brought this braisa. What did you come to add? Gavra yaseira kol osaleishminon. All you're trying to say is that it's the same halacha, exactly the same as we had in the Mishnah, the chopped up honeycombs. You've got here the chopped up zeisim v'anovim. The only difference being that in the Mishnah, who said it was muta? Rebbe Eliezer. And you're saying Reb Shimon and Rebbe Eliezer matir. All you're coming to do is add in one more name that Reb Shimon holds like Rebbe Eliezer. Omar le Abaye Abaye says, no. Tuva kumash malon. There's actually a very big chiddush here. There's a chiddush here in zeisim v'anovim that you do not have with the honeycombs. Di'imi masnisin, if it would only be from the Mishnah, havamin, I may have thought, hasam hu dumi kora oichla, ulubasayf oichla. Once they've been crushed, the status of the honey does not really change. It's food before and it's food after. It doesn't change its status from one type of food to another. But here, the mikora oichla, before the juices come out, it's oichel. Lebesoif mashke, once the juices come out, it's got the status of a mashke, of a beverage, of a drink. Eimeloi, in that case, I may have thought, you're not allowed to benefit from this on Shabbos. Kumash malon, The chiddush is that you, even in a case where you've, where it was initially zeisim vanovim and now it's shemen and yayin, nonetheless you're allowed to benefit from this on Shabbos. And that's the chiddush. So he was telling us more than just the extra name, he was telling us a chiddush in the halacha that we would not have known otherwise. And the fact that the Gemara here calls dvash, calls the honey oichel, when we know in other halachas, in Tumah and Tara, it's got a status of mashke, is something which the Mefarshim discuss here. Continues the next Mishnah. And before we start the Mishnah, we just want to introduce, there are three different levels of, let's call it cooking or heating up a food item. Number one is what we call bar b'chamin, which means if it's properly cooked, your typical cooking process. There's another stage, which is called shirin, where you soak something in boiling water. Anything that's not previously been cooked can get cooked by being soaked in boiling water, in hot water. If it's been cooked previously, then ein bishul achar bishul, something that's already been cooked, a solid that's already been cooked, it cannot be recooked. And there's another stage, and that's called madichin. Madichin just means rinsing a food item with hot water. And under normal circumstances, rinsing any food with hot water will not cook it. It might soften it a little bit, but it will not cook it. The exception to this is kalei habishul, certain food items that we know are very easily cooked. And in the event that they have not been cooked previously, even just rinsing them in hot water is considered doing everything they need to be ready. It's a Gemara Melachton, Gemara Bishulam, and it's considered Bishul. And that, we're going to learn about that now in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kol Shebo Bechamin Be'erev Shabbos, anything that was cooked properly before Shabbos, Shoyer Noisei Bechamin B'Shabbos, even if it's cooled down, you're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos, since it's already been cooked before Shabbos, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. V'chol Sheloi Bo Bechamin Me'erev Shabbos, anything that's not been properly cooked before Shabbos, madichin oisoi bechamin b'Shabbos, you're allowed to rinse it with hot water on Shabbos, because under normal circumstances that will not do any cooking, but you're not allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos, because that would cause it to get cooked. Chutz min hamoliach hayoshon, a very aged, salted fish, v'kulyas ho'isponim, or a type of salted fish called kulyas hoisponim, others say it's mackerel from Spain, Spanish mackerel, where even if you just rinse it under hot water, shehadochoson zuig marmelachton, rinsing it completes their preparation, and therefore one is not allowed to do it on Shabbos. If one does it, one will have transgressed bishul. Says the Gemara, Kegoin Mai, the Mishnah started by saying, Kol abo b'chamin b'erev Shabbos, anything that's been cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbos. What are you coming to include? Give me an example, such as what? Says the Gemara, Omer of Safra, Kegoin tarnegolto de Rav Abba. There was the concept called a hen of Rav Abba. And what did he do? He would cook it. He would first cook it, and once it was completely cooked, he would soak it for a long time afterwards, and it would almost dissolve because of the amount that it's been soaked in hot water. And then he would drink it or eat it for therapeutic reasons, for medical reasons. Rashi says it was good lirafua. V'omer of Safra. So the Gemara says that this hen of Rav Abba is a hen that was first cooked, and it was customary that after it was cooked, one would soak it in hot water. V'omer of Safra. Rav Safra said regarding this hen of Rav Abba, Zimna chode iklias lahosam. I once happened to go there to Rav Abba. V'ochel minei, and he fed us from this dish, from this hen of Rav Abba. V'iloi Rabbi Abba de Ashkion Chamra Bartlosa Torfi, had Rabbi Abba not given me wine that was aged, that was 3 years old. We've already seen previously in the Masechta that Tlosa Torfi, Chamra Bartlosi Torfi means wine that's aged for 3 years. Had I not drunk that wine, and then Isnasi, it would have been so revolting to me that I would have been compelled to throw up from the disgust in eating it. Rabbi Yochanan, Royik Mikuto de Bavloi. till now we were talking about Rav Safra had a reaction to the hen of Rav Abba in Eretz Yisrael. Here we had Rabbi Yochanan, who had a similar type of reaction to a Babylonian food. He would roik, it would cause him to spit and to throw up saliva, just remembering the flavor of the kutach habavli, which was a dip that was common in Bovel. Now Rav Yosef, who was from Bovel, was not happy that the way that Rabbi Yochanan commented about the Bovel foods. So said Rabbi Yosef, Omer Rav Yosef, V'lirik anan mitarun agol tod Reb Abba. If that's the way you're reacting to the kutach habavli, should we not be reacting this way? Should we not be throwing up the saliva just by thinking of the taste or of the texture of Reb Abba's hen? V'oid, and even more, you're saying that kutach habavli was very repulsed. It's not true. Rav Yosef is saying, Omer of Gaza. Rav Gaza said, Zimna chod ikleis lehosam. Once I went to Eretz Yisrael, va'avodis kutach debavloi, and I prepared some kutach habavli in Eretz Yisrael. She'ilu minei kol brichi marova, and all the sick people in Eretz Yisrael, they came and begged me to have some of this kutach habavli. So you see that this kutach habavli couldn't have been so bad. That's how Rav Yosef commented on Rabbi Yochanan's reaction to the kutach habavli. Continues the Gemara. V'chol sheloi bo b'chamin. We saw that anything that's not been cooked before Shabbos, one's allowed to rinse it, but you're not allowed to soak it in hot water. And besides, for the kale habishul, as we saw in the Mishnah, the kale habishul, that one's not even allowed to soak it. What are the kale habishul? Aged salted fish and salted Spanish mackerel. Asks the Gemara, Hidiachmai, what happens if somebody does rinse one of the kale habishul on Shabbos? What's the halacha? How serious is it? Omer of Yosef, Hidiach chayev chatos. Of Yosef says that if you even just rinse one of the kale habishul with hot water on Shabbos, you chayev chatos, you've done cooking. Omer marbered Ravina, af anan nami tanino. We also learnt in our Mishnah, chutz mimoliach yoshin, that you're allowed to rinse any of the foods besides for the kale habishul, for example, the aged salted fish or the Spanish mackerel. Because rinsing them completes the preparation and therefore it's considered bishul. So from here we can see that doing hadocha on the kale habishul is a chiyuv chatos of bishul. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Chiya Bar Abba v'Rav Asi Kameidu Rav Yechanon. Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Asi were sitting in front of Rav Yechanon. V'Yosef Rav Yechanon v'kam namnim, and Rav Yechanon dozed off. Omer li Rav Chiya Bar Abba l'Rav Asi. So now Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Asi, they had a discussion and they were discussing four interesting phenomena. One of them is going to be regarding this Spanish mackerel. That's how it comes into the Gemara here. So Omer li Rav Chiya Bar Abba l'Rav Asi, Mipnei ma oifois shebebovel shmeinim. Why are the birds in Bovel fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael? Omer li, so Rav Asi said to Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Klach l'midbar azo, go to the Gaza desert, v'ereich shmeinim hem, and I'll show you birds that are even fatter. Another question Rav Chiya Bar Abba asked, Mipnei ma moyadim shebebovel smeichim. Why are the Yomim Tovim in Bovel more joyous than those of Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Asi answered, Mipnei Shein Anim, because the Klal Yisrael, the Yidden in Bovel, were very, very poor, and therefore they were very busy working all year round, they didn't have a lot of food all year round, and therefore the only time that they had space and time to rejoice was on Yom Tov. Another question, Mipnei Ma Talmidei Chachomim Shebebovel Mitzuyonim. Why are the Talmidei Chachomim in Bovel adorned with special and beautiful clothes more than the Talmidei Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael? Says Rav Asi, he answered, Lefi she'enon b'nei Torah, because in Bovel the Talmidei Chachomim are not such great b'nei Torah like in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore in order to get the honor that in Eretz Yisrael they would honor the Talmidei Chachomim just for their stature of learning. In Bovel, where that was somewhat lacking, they had to wear these clothes in order to receive their due honor. Another, the last question Rabbi Chiya bar Abba asked, "Mipnei ma oivdei kechovim mezuamim? Why are the goyim? Why are they impure, filthy? They're very much more vulgar." So that he answered, "Mipnei sheoichlim shkotzim uramosim, because they eat shkotzim uramosim, and these are creatures that, in the Torah's view, are abominable." At this point, itar b'hu Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan rose. He woke up. Omar Lu, and he said to them, "Dardaki, you young Talmidei Chachomim, loikach omarti lechem, have I not told you in the past that the Pasuk says, emoir lechochmo achoisiot, say to wisdom, you are my sister." And the big question is, what's chochma got to do with my sister? Imbor lecho adovo ka achoischo shi asura lecho oimreu. It says, emoir lechochmo, when should you say out any words of wisdom? Only when achoisihi, when there's something similar between the words of wisdom and your sister. What is it about the sister? It's absolutely clear, there's no discussion, no doubts whatsoever. One's not allowed to marry one's sister. When any wisdom you're trying to say is as clear as that, then you should say it. If not, you should not say it. If not, you shouldn't repeat, you shouldn't say over those words of wisdom if they're not as clear as that. So Rabbi Yechanan was more or less telling them that even though he had dozed off, but he'd obviously heard the discussion and said to them that there's something about the answers that you, Rav Asi, gave to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba that was not accurate. Omru leis, they said to Rabbi Yechanan, "V'lei melon mar ezemen." So tell us the answers to these questions. Mipnei ma oifois shebabob el shmeinim. According to you, Rabbi Yechanan, why are the birds in Bovel fatter than those in Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Yechanan answered, "Mipnei sheloi golu, because the birds of Bovel were not exiled. However, the birds of in Eretz Yisrael, together with all the fish and together with all the animals, were exiled from Eretz Yisrael." Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Sha'anan Moyov minurov." Moyov has been tranquil from its youth. "V'shoike tu el shmorov," and it rests quiet on its shmorim. "Ubagoylo loyholach," and it did not go into golus. And then the pasuk continues, "V'loyhurak mikli el kli ubagoylo loyholach al kein omad tamoy." Therefore, its tam, its taste, its texture stood with it. "Tamoy boy v'reichoy loygomar," and its scent didn't get finished. The aroma has not changed. So you see from there that the fact that they didn't go into Golos preserved their quality. V'hocha minolon de golu. However, how do you know that the birds of Eretz Yisrael, the animals of Eretz Yisrael, did go into Golos? And then that would explain why they're fat, why they are less fat. Says the Gemara de Tanya, we saw in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimir, "Chamishim ushtaim shono loy ovar ish bi Yehuda." For 52 years, no man passed through Yehuda, throughout Israel. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, "Al hehorim eso b'chi vonehi," on the destruction of the hills of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim, "I will raise up weeping and wailing." "Me oif hashamayim," from the bird of the heavens, "Va'ad behemo," until the literal translation is until the behemo, till the beast, "Nodudu holochu," they have wandered and gone. So what does it mean, "v'ad behemo"? Behemo, says the Gemara, behemo begematria 50 v'taratin havu, that the word behemo is the numerical value of 52. So when it says, "v'ad behemo," for a duration of 52 years, "nodudu holochu," they went into exile and they wandered. So you see from here that all these animals, speaking about me'oif ha'shamayim v'ad behemo, all the birds, all the animals, and we'll soon see even all the fish, were exiled from Eretz Yisrael by the churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. Omer Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, kulon chuzru, they all came back, all the animals came back and all the birds came back, chutz mikoylias ho'isponin, besides for this, what we call the Spanish mackerel that we mentioned before in the Gemara, that they could not come back, even though they somehow originated from Eretz Yisrael. They went down to Bovel when by the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but they could not come back. Da'omar Rav, because Rav says, "Hona madre de Bovel," the slopes of Bavel, Mahadre Maya Le'en Eitam. They return the water to a place in Eretz Yisrael called Ein Eitam, which means that all the waters of Bavel somehow found, even though Bavel is lower down than Eretz Yisrael, they found their way up back to Eretz Yisrael, and there are ways that the fish can go upstream. The high, but this fish, the one we're talking about here, kiven deloy shori shidre, since it doesn't have a firm backbone, therefore le motzi solik, it could not go up those slopes, and therefore it stayed in Bavel and could not come to Eretz Yisrael. Continues Rabbi Yochanan, mipnei ma moyadim shebavel smeichim, why are the yomim tovim in Bavel more happy than those in Eretz Yisrael? Mipnei shelehoyu boisei klola, because in Eretz Yisrael there was some type of a curse that affected the joyousness of the Yomim Tovim, and that did not affect Bavel. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'hishbati kol Mesoisa, I will end all her joy, referring to the joy of Eretz Yisrael, Chago, the festival of the Yomim Tovim, Chodsho, the Rosh Chodoshim, V'shabso, and the Shabosos, V'chol Moyadeh, all her festivals. Uchsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Chodsheichem, Umoyadeichem, your Yomim Tovim, and your Rosh Chodoshim, son on nafshi, my soul hates, hoyu olai l'teirach, they've been a burden unto me. So here you see that referring to the Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, there was a curse that affected the simcha of the Yomim Tovim, and in Bavel they didn't have that. Asks the Gemara, my hoyu olai l'teirach, what does it mean when the Pasuk says that they have become a burden to me? Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Lazar, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Lo yidayon leYisrael shechitim lefonai. It's not enough that Klal Yisrael are doing averus before me. Elo shematrichin oisi. They burden me, leida eze gzeira kosha ov yalem, to which harsh degree I should bring upon them. So to speak, it's hard enough for Hashem that we are not doing, that we do averus. But the fact that Hashem has to trouble himself, so to speak, to punish us, that's also a burden to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. And therefore, Hashem said that they have been a toirach on me, and the punishment was, as we saw, Hashem removed the joy from Eretz Yisrael. How did this curse manifest itself in Eretz Yisrael? Besides what we saw before, that generally the Yomim Tovim in Bavel were more joyous than those of Eretz Yisrael. Omer Yitzchok, in lechokol regel v'regel, there was never a Yom Tov that a troop did not come to Tzipuri to plunder and to cause a mess. Every Yom Tov, an Egmoin, a governor, the Komtoin, or a ruler, Ubal Zmoira, or an official would come to Tveria, and they would plunder and impose taxes and destroy the Simcha of the Yom Tov. Continues Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei ma talmidei chachomim shebebovel mitzuyonim? Why do the talmidei chachomim in Bavel adorn themselves with beautiful clothes? Lefi she'einon bnei mekoimon, because that's not their place. They came from Eretz Yisrael down to Bavel. Da omri inchi, because people say, b'mosa shamoi, in my own place where everybody knows me by name, then my name, shamoi, my name is enough to get the respect that's due, and I should have my place. But if I'm not in my own city, then I have to rely on my clothing to tell people what my status is, and I'll that way get my due respect. Continues the Gemara. Haboy, and that means beforehand we saw that the Gemara explained why did the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel adorn themselves with special clothes, because they were not Bnei Torah. Here Rabbi Yochanan says no, it's not because they were not Bnei Torah, it's just because it wasn't their main homeland. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel, they were Talmidei Chachamim, and we're going to bring proof now to the status and the level that they were really Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel. The Pasuk says, Haboim Yashreish Yaakov, that those of Yaakov will come and take root, Yotzitz, they will bud, Uforach, and they will blossom, Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. Who are these people that will come and they will bud and blossom? Toner of Yosef, Eilu Talmidei Chachomim Shebebovel. These are the Talmidei Chachomim in Bovel. Why are they called budding and blossoming? She'oisin tzitzin uprochim la'teira. Because they actually cause the Torah to bud, and they cause the Torah to blossom. So you see here that their level of the Talmidei Chachomim in Bovel was very high, and they actually caused Torah to bud and blossom. Proof to Rabbi Yechanon that the reason that the Talmidei Chachomim wore special clothes was not because they were not B'nai Torah, but just because of the way Rabbi Yechanon explained it, because She'enon B'nai Mekoimon. Continues the Gemara, the last of the four questions that were asked, Mipnei ma ovdei kechovim mezuamim, why are the goyim impure? Shele omdu al har Sinai, because they never stood at Sinai to receive the Torah. Shebeshah, because at the time, Shebo nochosh al chavo, when the nochosh came and attacked Chavo, or he seduced her, Hitil bo zuamo, at that point he cast some tumah into Chavo. How long did it last? It stayed in Chavo and was transmitted to all her descendants. Yisroel, she'omdu al har Sinai, posko zuamoson. At har Sinai, at that point, this zuamo, this impurity, was totally removed due to the revelation of Hashem and His Torah. And therefore, ovdei kechovim she'omdu al har Sinai, the goyim that did not receive the Torah at Sinai, leposko zuamoson, that zuamo, that impurity that was originally injected into Chavo by the Nochosh, by the snake, by the serpent, remained in the Goyim till today. Continues the Gemara, Omele Rav Acha Brei Derovel Ravashi, Geirim Mai, converts, people who are Goyim, and through the generations they convert, and we're taking it for granted that if they convert, they no longer have the Zuamo. When did they get rid of this impurity? Says the Gemara, Omer Lei, Afal Gav De Inhu Leichozi, Mazlaihu, even though they themselves were not at Sinai, because at that point, before they became converts, they were goyim, or they were not yet in Klal Yisrael. However, their muzzle, which is some spiritual force that's associated to them, because in the future they're going to convert to Klal Yisrael, already then their muzzle, there was some spirituality that was at Sinai, and that removed the zuama from them. It says in the Pasuk, regarding Matan Torah, Eisa sheyeshnoi poi, those who are standing here, imonu oimei dayoim, with us today, lifnei Hashem elekeinu, standing in front of Hashem, ve'eisa sheinenu poi, and those who are not here with us. Who's not here with us? Those are the people that were not there in their bodily posture, rather they were there in their spirituality, in the muzzle. So those that were descendants of people that were there, Klal Yisrael, then the Zuamo left them, and all their children, all their descendants were pure. But those who, their ancestors were not there, then those, the neshamas were there, and therefore they got cleansed then. Upligad Rab Abba Bar Kahana, and Rabbi Yechanon's statement that the Zuamo, the impurity of the serpent, was removed from Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah, is arguing with Rav Abba Bar Kahana. Domer Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Shloisha Doireis Leposke Zuamo Mavoiseinu. The impurity of the Nochosh was still within the ancestors of Klal Yisrael, the Ovis HaKadoshim, up to three generations. Avram, it was still there in the time of Avram, and therefore he led Yishmoel. He had a son called Yishmoel. Yitzchok, the impurity was still there, he led Esav, and that's why Esav was born to him. Yaakov, he led Shneimos HaShvatim, however, when it came to Yaakov, then the impurities had already entirely left them, and he had 12 tribes, Shalohoyobem Shum Doifi, where there was no issue with them. They were 100% straight, pure, and clean. So you see from Abba Bar Kahana that the Zuamo left already from the time of Yaakov Avinu, and not only at the time of Matan Torah. Emir Tzashem, in the next Shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.